Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Care what color shirt you're wearing or what dollar amount, you're probably sweating through it today because we got a big one coming up tonight in the NBA. Game four of the finals, and who'd have thought after all of this time, after everything we've thrown his way during the season, during the postseason, that Giannis Antetokounmpo would feel like the one sure thing heading into tonight. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got plenty of great ones for you today. We'll get you ready for Game 4 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight in Milwaukee between the Suns and the Bucks. Kevin Pelton's going to help us stop by. Tim Kempton, one of the great voices of the Phoenix Suns, on how they can maybe bounce back. John Barry, who's going to be on the call on ESPN Radio tonight. We'll also get you ready for the WNBA All-Star Game tonight. 7 o'clock Eastern. Game doesn't start till 9 in the NBA Finals, so you got a great window there. Angel McCautry going to join us here and get you right. Cool format on the WNBA All-Star Game. We got plenty of fun stuff to get into with that. Jason Fitz filling in for Chanae going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. And so I want to dial into plenty of that because who we look towards in Game 4 tonight I think is fascinating. I was talking earlier today, I was on Highly Questionable, and it's amazing the turn that we've made with Giannis in such a short amount of time. We're through three games of the NBA Finals. It seems like we're ready to put him off to the side as a guarantee here, and I actually buy into that. We'll tell you who else needs to step up, but we've also had breaking news today in the NFL. Unfortunately, you've heard it in the updates. You've probably heard it through most of the day. Our ESPN NFL insider, Adam Schefter, has reported that free agent Richard Sherman, cornerback, was booked at 6:08 a.m. this morning in Seattle Correctional Facility for, quote, burglary, domestic violence, per King County public records. Sherman was also denied bail. Washington State Police are also investigating Sherman in connection with a hit and run, damage to a State Department of Transportation property. The state police say that about 1 a.m. Pacific, they received a report of a single car accident where a car struck a concrete barrier. The driver was apparently able to drive the vehicle off the exit and abandon it in a nearby parking lot. Registration was run, and it came back to Richard Sherman. Now, we've heard comments from his wife, Ashley Moss, who told the Seattle Times, quote, he didn't harm anybody. The kids were not harmed in the incident. He's a good person, and this is not his character. We're doing all right, just trying to get him out. I want people to know no one was injured. Richard Sherman has not been formally charged. He cannot be until he appears in the King County Court, District Court, which will not be until Thursday afternoon. Until then, Richard Sherman will remain in the King County Correctional Facility in Seattle. It's a lot to digest, and at this point, it's a lot we don't know. Now, as far as anything from the league side of thing, Richard Sherman is a free agent, so no action would come from a team. I'm sure the NFL league office is going to have to look into this at some point, but as we've seen in the past, precedent tends to be they let as much of the legal information come out from this as possible. So we'll wait to see what happens with Richard Sherman between now and Thursday, but just wanted to keep everyone up to date. As one of the biggest stars in the NFL and one of the bigger voices in the NFL, Richard Sherman's been someone whose voice has been lent to a lot of subjects. He's been done so very intelligently over the years, but this is a reminder in this case that no matter what we think of Richard Sherman, we got to pull back and wait for information to come out here and try and take that for what it is at face value. So we'll get to more of that here. Chanae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We did have the MLB All-Star game last night. The AL wins yet again. Now 8 straight wins over the National League in the All-Star game. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. becomes the youngest All-Star Game MVP in the game's history, going yam on a 468-footer in that game. An absolute rocket from one of the thickest superstars in sports. And it was so strange to me because my thoughts on that night when you see, all right, yeah, the AL wins again, but thank God it's not deciding home field for the World Series anymore, that dumb experiment that we did. And on a night where Shohei Ohtani technically gets the win for the American League as the starting pitcher, where you have Vladdy Guerrero Jr., one of the juniors that's been so prominent in the league this year, winning the MVP, where there's so much to celebrate, I still saw so many people busted up over who was not there. We had this renewed conversation around what players owe something like the All-Star game. Now, I understand being selected as an All-Star, you know, being selected to the Pro Bowl, whatever your league's version of this is. It's supposed to be basically a fan engagement event, right? It's great for players. These things tend to add up, especially we see in the NBA all the time. There's things in guys' contracts that these kind of awards postseason-wise can trigger and allow them to collect on. All that stuff's great, but at the end of the day, these are supposed to be fan expos. These are supposed to be weekends where the fans, usually the idea was, can get closer to the players, especially for Major League Baseball. Before interleague play, this was your opportunity to get to kind of look across the aisle. But man, as I looked at this and thought, all right, 14 players opted out, second most all time. All four Astros participants opted out, which really appeared to be, in my mind, the crux of this, is people still want their opportunity to get their pound of flesh out of the Astros. For my money, in a year where we just came off a pandemic, where so much has changed, where we've seen the effects on other sports in the world of injury. We've seen a number of players and stars this year affected by injury or trying to avoid it. My thought process is always, whether it's regular season rest or anything else, if you're a fan of a team, would you not rather have your players who might be borderline, who might be right on the edge, healthy for the second half run of the season, if you're really in contention, if you're trying to get in contention, than going out and playing in an exhibition like this? Where, again, who knows, anything can happen. Baseball's a weird sport. We see a number of minute injuries end up derailing guys. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you someone who did not agree with me on that. His name is Paul Hembakides. He's come on this show, the Greek God of Stats. You hear him all the time on Greeny with Mike Greenberg. And Hembo went off. Hembo is a great guy, lovable dude, known him for a long time around here. But he's an old man trapped in a young man's body. Like, he's Benjamin Button status to the fullest. And when he let loose on the players for not attending the All-Star game, I had to check and make sure my eyebrows weren't singed off. Here was Hembo yesterday on the players opting out.
Boiled my blood, and I'm still not over it. I'm still not over it. When did the players decide to stop caring about the fans as much as the fans care about them? You often say, why should I care about the games if you don't yourself, in talking about NBA load management? That's how I feel about this. We take this game we have, Greeny, for granted, but it was built on the backs of giants. I've talked to Cal Ripken before about how he would stay past midnight at Camden Yards after the player strike and sign autographs until he couldn't sign them anymore. Roberto Clemente, every waking moment of his life, it seemed, was doing whatever he could to build the game of baseball in Latin America. In 1927, Babe Ruth played 207 games, including all the exhibitions and his barnstorming tours, plus a regular season. Baseball is now a $10 billion behemoth, but baseball fundamentally is something of a grassroots success story. And behind every story, and behind every fan like me, is a catch with your dad in the backyard and learning of your favorite player and seeing that player. For me, that player is Cal Ripken Jr. This is a game, Greeny, that provides players the opportunity for generational wealth. All I'm asking is to pay it forward. I'm not asking Jacob deGrom to stay till midnight and sign autographs, or to fly medical supplies to Nicaragua, or to go play barnstorming tour from Biloxi to Dubuque or wherever. I'm just asking you to play in the freaking All-Star game that the fans elected you to. They're the only ones that matter, so pay it forward.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And listen, do I agree with Hembo? Hell no. Do I understand where he's coming from here? Absolutely. Like, I always tell the story, these things leave an impact. Being in camp with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ryan Clark, who works with us now, was one of the veterans on that team. And I distinctly remember sitting in training camp in the weight room. We had come off the field after practice, and you could see out the window, there's a big hill in Latrobe, PA, where the Steelers have training camp, where you're coming up from the field to where the weight room is. And all the rest of us had gotten up. We had started the workout. And this is 30 minutes, 45 minutes after practice. I looked out there and I saw Ryan Clark still coming up there, taking pictures, signing autographs for people, visiting with fans that he'd seen in training camp there for years. And it left an indelible impact on all those people. Like, I have no doubt of all of that. I also saw in training camp where we dressed one of the other guys up on the team that kind of looked like Troy Polamalu in his jersey, and no one knew the difference. Like, there's a certain point, too, where your kid's building memories with almost everything in sport. I want people that want to be there. I always said that about my college team. If guys wanted to transfer, do what's right for you. We want guys that want to be here. And in the case of the All-Star game, you've got so many of the young, great faces of the game that were in this game. We talked about so many of them. And so if some of the guys that have been around a little while longer, who have already paid it forward to a certain extent, choose to not play in a game that, again, is a great expo for the fans. But again, ultimately, You've got a number of stars there. You've got a number of players who are still there representing, and especially for the young fans, where you're really trying to build the game in all of this, going out and doing their part, that if some of these veteran guys decide, hey, especially in a pandemic year, especially if I'm flirting with injury. Now, if you want to slander the Astros, be my guest. We can all continue to take our pound of flesh out of them. But I see nothing wrong with this. I might be in the minority because, again, I'm always going to skew player on these things. But I think you can pave the game forward in a lot of ways and forced fund a mandatory attendance sheet to the All-Star game. That's about what you do and accomplish on the field. Everyone's going to connect with fans differently. It's what we talked about with Major League Baseball with a guy like Mike Trout. Been the face of baseball for a long time from accomplishment. Doesn't really want much to do with the outside world as far as talking to us. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you got a problem with the players electing to not play in the MLB All-Star game, let me know there at 888-SAY-ESPN. But coming up next, one of the biggest stars in the NBA just went under the knife. What does this do for the balance of power in Los Angeles as we look towards a summer that felt so uncertain not too long ago? That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. Jason Fitz going to be filling in for Janae. Going to join us at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. And 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. You want to get in touch with us on the Goodyear hotline. Talked some about what we saw in the All-Star game for Major League Baseball last night, but man, I don't know what it is. Did anyone else feel like it was an absolute desert in between Game 3 of the NBA Finals and Game 4 coming up tonight? I felt like it's been Friday for the last 3 days. It's been out of control because we got so spoiled with the games in the lead up to the NBA Finals. And so thank God it is back here. Between that and the WNBA All-Star game tonight, we have got a fountain of content heading our way here. But quietly, as the NBA Finals have gone on, as we've had all this news and commotion out here about that, and rightly so, one thing I've been surprised has flown very far under the radar has been Kawhi Leonard's injury status. And we now finally got an update on that. Kawhi Leonard having surgery on a partially torn ACL. Now, we're waiting to see what the recovery time is going to look like on this. We've seen some people like Spencer Dinwiddie recently out in Brooklyn be able to recover a similar grade one ACL tear, be able to, you know, be cleared in 6 months. We've seen others it takes, you know, closer to 9 in the past. So we'll see what happens with Kawhi Leonard, but all roads lead to what his future with the Clippers looks like, because I think during the postseason, we all expected Kawhi Leonard, who's been a star for the Clippers, who's been one of the best players in the NBA going back a few years now, is we all expected he was going to decline the player option, go and sign a 4-year, his version of the Supermax. He doesn't have bird rights, so it would be 4 years in the $176 million range. We all expected that because it'd be smart business. Kawhi said as much earlier in the year. If, you know, you're thinking of a smart business sense, you always decline the player option and make sure you're going to go out here and get this money. But now it gets interesting. Now we have to wonder, all right, does this ACL injury actually help the Clippers' chances of getting Kawhi Leonard back? Because the one thing I subscribe to is never trying to think I know what Kawhi Leonard is thinking. You can go all the way back to his departure from San Antonio. He always reminds me of that precious gem thief that Alfred's talking about in the Dark Knight Batman movie. Some people just want to watch the world burn. Steal rubies, give them to kids on the side of the road. Doesn't matter, because some people just want to watch the world burn. That's what it's always felt like with Kawhi, because we've never been able to truly understand his motivation. And so as we sit here now, I'm not going to claim I know, but what I'm going to say is, if I was going to read this like I would for anyone else, understanding we got a wild card in the middle of it, this scenario is the one that likely helps the Clippers most in the interim. Because Kawhi could have tested the market, and who knows what a healthy Kawhi Leonard would have fetched. Now, he'll be on the other side of 30 finally when he signs this deal. And his best basketball is probably behind him, but it's still at an extremely high level. We saw that in the Dallas series. Like, there's no bones about that. And so what you have now, I think, is a situation. Let's look at it from all these angles here. You got Kawhi Leonard sitting here with an injured knee that's likely going to cause him to miss at least half of, if not all of, next season. So he's going to want to collect a check. Could even pick up the player option for that reason to collect money this year. Talk about this after the 21-22 season. If he opts out of it. All right, what team is going to want to sign up for 4 years of yet another serious injury for Kawhi Leonard after all the stuff that went on with his quad on the other side of that Spurs stuff? I don't know. You know who would be inclined to? The Los Angeles Clippers. Steve Ballmer, who's constantly looking over his shoulder at the team that dominates the Staples Center. Steve Ballmer, the hyper-competitive billionaire screaming through his mask on the sideline of every game. That doesn't seem like a guy who, forget what's best for the team. Because you could say, all right, maybe you're ready to trust Paul George after this postseason. Maybe he said, man, you know what? We cleared out some space for him. Paul George looks like he's pretty good as the focal point of this team. You get another distributor in there, all of a sudden you've got something potent there. But there's also the understanding that, man, this is Los Angeles. You got to kind of stack stars. And even though Kawhi Leonard isn't the kind of star that necessarily dominates a city like that, he's still one of the big names. He's still a draw. And is Steve Ballmer really going to be the guy that seeds ground on that? Because if you're Kawhi, you look around and say, all right, there's a bit of security there. There's a head coach in Ty Lue who just got all of this praise heaped on him for the job that he did during the course of this season and during this postseason run. So if I'm the Clippers, I'm feeling pretty good about this situation, even though part of what's going to come with it and the fascinating part is going to be when next season starts. Because I know we've been conditioned to devalue the regular season, but I think as we go through this, more and more people are going to look and say, all right, well, how does this team continue to look with Kawhi off the court and Paul George leading the charge? Does Paul George continue to push forward and drop? I always say, trust, gained in drops, lost in buckets. Does Paul George continue to add drops to that bucket? Add drops to that bucket of people's faith in him when Kawhi Leonard is out this next season? Because, hell, look, I mean, what if Kawhi Leonard picks up that player option, comes back, can't play the next season, though. It's got to be a longer-term recovery there. ACLs can be different for everybody in the way your recovery time comes up. And now you go through next year, and Paul George takes the momentum from this postseason and turns into your alpha. It begets a lot of questions here, but I think ultimately the answer winds up being the simplest of all things here. And again, I know that's dangerous with Kawhi Leonard, but I'm saying what the factors look like from the outside looking in, this seems like a guy, this seems like a situation, I should say, that points to him coming back to the Clippers. Now, it's not out of the realm of possibility that another team could try to come in. We saw Kevin Durant get one of those max deals after a catastrophic injury. So certainly can't rule that out because Kawhi Leonard has been that class of player. But again, if I'm reading the tea leaves around this situation and saying for a normal athlete, all of the circumstances around an injury like this would usually lead to someone wanting the security of where they are in a place they know wants them. But some people just want to watch the world burn. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up next, as we look towards tonight's game in the NBA Finals, one player did a lot more sitting than shooting in Game 3. What's the bounce back look like for Devin Booker? History tells us Game 4 should make some fans pretty happy. We'll do that next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 4 as the Bucks host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we head now as we get you ready for Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Let's head out and talk to Suns radio analyst and former NBA veteran Tim Kempton, who joins us now here, a fellow Notre Dame grad himself. So always great to talk to another Irishman. Tim, how you doing?
Cheer, cheer. Great to talk to you, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Chinese as well.
We appreciate you coming on here with us, and there's so much to get into with the game tonight, especially for the Suns' perspective, but Tim, I feel like it all starts with Giannis Antetokounmpo, back-to-back 40-point games. He's been sensational the first three games of this series, even in losses. So for the Suns defensively here, is there an adjustment to be made, or do they just basically have to concede that Giannis is going to get his?
Well, Mike, I think, yeah, when you have a player that impact on a game, you understand that you just make him work for his numbers. You don't give him, you know, easy possessions, but understand if he scores, that's not the end of the world. It's when you let those other guys chip in and get 20 points here, 19 from this guy, another 15 from that guy. So I think it's, you know, the Suns won the second game when he had a 40-plus point game. The Suns beat those guys twice during the regular season. Giannis played well in one, not in the other. But, it's a situation where stars are going to be stars in this league, and you just have to kind of slow down the other guys, not let them come along and join in the party. So just make Giannis work and try to be a little bit more defensively oriented on the rest of the roster.
Speaking of stars being stars, we saw just the opposite of that from Devin Booker in Game 3. How surprised were you not only by his performance, but by the fact that we saw so much of him sitting down in the second half of that game?
Yeah, I think that was a combination of a couple of things. First of all, he hasn't been good at all in the playoffs in Game 3s for whatever reason. But the good news is he's always bounced back and had a good game to follow it up. I think it was a little bit of Monty. You know, if the Suns made a run, great. Then we'll see if Devin can help out. But I think it was like, let's live to fight another, you know, play another game in the fourth game and see how Devin responds there. He wasn't shooting the ball well. Obviously, overall, 3 of 14, 1 of 7 from behind the arc. So it just didn't seem like he had it going on that night. So I think Monty kind of used it, you know, in two ways. Let Devin sit back and watch this and see if he can learn something that way. And also kind of let him recuperate for game four on the road tonight.
Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Tim Kempton, Suns radio analyst and former NBA player with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Tim, from that standpoint, if you're Monty Williams, if you're one of his teammates and Chris Paul, a veteran guy there, are you saying anything to Devin Booker in the days in between these games? Are you getting in his ear with anything extra after that performance? How do you handle that as a teammate or as a coach?
Yeah, I think you are. You know, whoever it is, whether it is Monty or whether it is Chris Paul, I think those are the two guys that'll have the most effect. Those are the two guys that he's very close with and has developed close relationship. So I'm sure when they're sitting there watching film and going over stuff, they are definitely in his ear, trying to get him back to where they expect him to be. And, you know, like I said, if the recent past is true to form, Chris Paul and Devin Booker have a solid game tonight, and the Suns are able to compete against Milwaukee on the road. And then if you compete, then you always have a chance to win the game.
And we've been used to seeing a lot of that compete come from a guy like DeAndre Ayton. We all saw the moment with him and Monty on the sideline a couple of games ago in this series, and he's just been unlocked this entire postseason. What's unique about the challenge that this Milwaukee lineup presents for a young player that's been so potent this postseason?
Well, he has someone across from him that's just as big, maybe even a little bit more athletic and as physical as DeAndre. He's done very well in staying out of foul trouble going against Jokic, you know, in the Denver series, able to use his quickness and move around him a little bit. But Giannis is the odd guy that is just as athletic, just as big as DeAndre, and it hurt him a little bit. He got in foul trouble in the last game. That's something that he's been able to stay away from the whole playoff series, the three series prior to this. So that's the biggest thing of DeAndre. It's more of a mental thing now, of how do I play Giannis, stay in front of him, and don't foul him. If he gets a bucket, he gets a bucket, but don't foul him in the process.
If you're on the Suns and you're scouting this Milwaukee team as we go into tonight's game, you know Giannis, we talked about him, he's the known commodity here. Who's the next player on the roster here? Who's the player who you're most worried about having a big impact on Game 4 in this series?
Well, I think it showed in the last game when Drew Holiday made a couple of big buckets. He's been a little bit down, you know, kind of up and down in the playoff series. So you don't want him to continue his hot hand and the way he played in that last game for Milwaukee. And if so, then the other guy is Chris Middleton. It's kind of, you know, two guys there that you really watch. If Giannis is getting hot and you forget about, you know, and kind of sloughing the lane a little bit too much, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are the guys that can really hurt you for Milwaukee.
It's going to be exciting to watch if one of those guys can step up, what the bounce back potentially looks like for Devin Booker, and if Giannis can keep up this tear tonight. Tim, we appreciate the time and the insight on all of this. Enjoy the game tonight. We know it's going to be a great one.
Thanks for having me on. Good talking to you.
Awesome stuff from Tim Kempton, Suns radio analyst, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And again, the NBA Finals right here on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 4 as Giannis and the Bucks host Devin Booker and the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage is going to start at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. But coming up next, our ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter doesn't throw out information just to do it here. And so when the name Aaron Rodgers starts popping up again, we got to check back in and see, are we getting towards the zero barrier, not only for the Green Bay Packers, but for any team that may be looking to bring that star quarterback on? We'll tell you next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Cam Newton tomorrow morning. That'll be interesting. Thank God he can't talk in that font. I've just said, I love Cam Newton to death. Very excited to hear him on with the guys in the morning show tomorrow. I think Cam, really, what a graceful transition into this next phase of his career. Like, whatever it looks like, I'd imagine Mac Jones is going to end up the starter at some point there in New England during the course of this season. Like, the Cam Newton we saw physically last year, the arm's not going to hold up for much longer. But him and Belichick, there seems to be a ton of mutual respect and admiration, good vibes there. Cam Newton, everything we've heard from him publicly has been the team, the team, the team. It's been very much what we've always seen in New England. And listen, Cam got to be center stage for a long time. So excited to hear what he thinks about that potential like mentor role idea for Cam. I know he's not going to roll over. This is a guy that trains hard. But again, someone's got to ask him about putting away the font. Like, if you're going to age gracefully into this next chapter of your career, we can stop using wingdings or whatever the hell that is. It's terrifying. It's too hard to read. I don't know, like, how he types it. God bless, because I'm sure it's also not him. God bless the poor intern that's got to go out here and whip through that Cam Newton font and try and put that out there. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Janae Golic Jr., though, here on ESPN Radio. He's not the quarterback that we're talking about today because we've spent all offseason staring into the Aaron Rodgers abyss. And normally, I don't like to get into this too much here. Like, it ends up being one of those things that just we've worn out our welcome on all summer. But my ears perk up anytime Adam Schefter says something because we saw this on a number of occasions. Our ESPN NFL insider isn't just throwing things out there to throw them out there. Like, that's just not how it works. And so when Adam Schefter on the Adam Schefter podcast is talking about what's gone on with Aaron Rodgers, star quarterback here, steadfast in his desire to not play in Green Bay, my ears perk up. Take a listen.
We also continue to wait for an answer from one Aaron Rodgers, who very easily could have dismissed all the speculation that's going on around him with a simple statement of, I'll see you at training camp, or I'll be there on opening day. And instead, we haven't gotten that because the fact of the matter is, the truth is, he doesn't want to be in Green Bay. He hasn't planned to be back in Green Bay.
So the question becomes, will Aaron Rodgers be breaking moves by trying to get himself the hell out of Green Bay?
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
The thing is now, though, is we're starting to get to that zero barrier. I use the reference all the time from the movie Armageddon, where you got this meteor that's coming here to end the world, and they got the zero barrier drawn up on the screen where Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck got to go up there and blow up the moon rock so it can split in half, dodge the earth, all that good stuff. Harry, I love you. So we get into that situation where we get towards the zero barrier training camp because there's two sides to this coin, right? For the teams that we talked about in the market for Aaron Rodgers for so long, Denver, Miami, every place that was in the, quite honestly, in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes before everything obviously started happening outside of the world of football with that situation. And so as we looked around at all these different teams for Aaron Rodgers, now we're getting to the point where we're reporting for training camp in a lot of places in 2 weeks. Like, we're very close to football being back in a real way. Thank you, God. And so when we get to that point, now all of a sudden, even if you're a team that would love to have a future Hall of Famer and a reigning MVP like Aaron Rodgers on your roster, it becomes a pretty cumbersome ask for everyone involved. And for the Packers, it becomes this difficult situation of where's the real pain point, right? Like, when do we hit that zero barrier? When does this really become uncomfortable for the Green Bay Packers to the point where they've got to do something? And honestly, the reason I'm starting to lose faith in something getting done before this season, the reason I'm starting to think we might have to kick this can down the road, kind of like we're going to with Russell Wilson. Because remember, all's not right there either. They just figured this out a little earlier in the offseason that, all right, that $41 million dead cap hit is kind of going to make this thing a non-starter, and so we're going to just do this again next season if Pete and Russ can't learn to play nice out there. But for the Green Bay Packers, this seems to be a little more than that. Again, Adam Schefter bringing this up the way he did. Aaron Rodgers being out in the public in a number of instances. We know the match was the most recent one. But being out in public enough, knowing he was going to get these questions, knowing it was going to get talked about, and not at any point along that way using one of those opportunities to squash this, lets you know, all right, these feelings are enough, and Aaron Rodgers is in a situation enough to where he feels like, I don't got to do this any sooner than I want to. I could see Aaron Rodgers being vindictive enough to take this thing into week one. Because that's where the pain would really start, right? We've seen plenty of veterans hold out through training camp and come in. And I get that he's the quarterback, but he's also a quarterback that's been there for a while, that's got time under task, even with this staff, certainly has the relationship with his O-line, with his star receiver and Devontae Adams, like a star receiver who has kind of said, hey, if we're going to talk extension for me, I got to kind of know what's happening with that guy. So you got all these things hanging in the balance here, but there's enough familiarity. And so I've always said, I think Aaron Rodgers is vindictive enough to make this thing go into week one, where he can eat a number of these checks and just remind Green Bay, this is what you'll look like without me. I think he's willing enough to take that gamble, again, because he knows what Jordan Love's capable, probably as well or better than anyone, after seeing him behind closed doors. Because the rest of us are flying blind on Jordan Love. Like, you can watch as much Utah State film as you want, going back a few years, and you can talk to a number of Packers reporters who maybe have seen him around practice, have seen him throw the ball. We went through this during OTAs with him this year, where Jordan Love cam was up and every throw he made was dissected. Multiply that by 1,000 when we get to training camp this year. And if we get to week one, where again, if Aaron Rodgers really wants to hurt them, and Lord, it seems like he does, get to week one and make him start. Make him start the season and see what that looks like. And now that could certainly backfire on Aaron Rodgers, but does that seem like a gamble that he's inclined to make? Yeah, at this point, I think so. So I'm starting to wave goodbye to the notion that we're going to get an Aaron Rodgers trade before the season starts. That was probably more unrealistic than we gave it credit for all along. But we are not out of the realm yet where Aaron Rodgers can make this thing hurt for Green Bay without jeopardizing the long-term season goals that he might still have here, because we've seen him out putting in the work. We've seen him out there running the hills. He talked about getting back in the gym and getting ready for this season, which he's already been in the gym. But I think he's still content to make this thing hurt. And I think that's when we'll really get to the pain point for Green Bay about if they're going to change their tune on the way they deal with all this. Is not when we get to camp, not in the middle of camp, but as we near that week one mark, how this starts to look for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. After hearing Adam Schefter saying he is still showing no signs of wanting to be back in a Packers uniform. But let's stick in Wisconsin with a star who does seem content next. Is it all good? Can we count on Giannis for another 40-burger tonight?
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.